Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur on Daf Yud Dalid, 12 lines from the top at the Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us just glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh. A Nosei is a topic heading. Mivneh is a structural note. And here, they're combined into one note. Roman numerals 1 and 2 will be found in the Mishnah. They represent Isuko Shel HaKohen Gadol, the preoccupation of the Kohen Gadol, number 1, Beshiva Yemei HaPrisha HaKodmin Liyom Kippur, during the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is relocated to the Lishkas Parhedrin, the chamber in the Beis HaMikdash prior to Yom Kippur, and Sha'ar Yemos HaShana, the rest of the year. Now we look at the Mishnah. Kol Shiva Siyomim, during the 7 days preceding Yom Kippur, Hu Zorek Es Adam Umaktir Es Haktoras, he is to take care of the Zrika Sadam, the sprinkling of the blood of the Korban Tomid, the daily sacrifices that are offered in the morning and the afternoon. Those are the Tomid Shel Shachar and Tomid Shel Barambayim. And Rashi points out we want him to get used to these actions, the action of sprinkling blood. And what else? Umaktir Saktoros, and he also offers the daily incense offering, Umeitiv Saneros, and he cleans out the candles from the wicks and charcoal that has accumulated after the night of the candelabra burning, Umakriv es horosh ves haregel, and he offers onto the mizbeach the head and the foot of the animal. Ushar kol hayomim, during the rest of the year, im rosa lahakriv makriv, if he should want to offer the sacrifices, he has the first right to it, the first call. She Kohen Gadol makriv chelek borosh, v'notel chelek borosh. The Kohen Gadol has a right to chelek borosh, means first choice at offering, and also first choice at taking whatever portion of the sacrifice he should so desire. The Gemara. Before we begin the Gemara, a structural note appears on the side under the Mivneh. There is a bow tie shape. These represent Shtei Deos, two opinions. Man Tano, who is the author of our Mishnah, Leor Hodikotoni, in light of that which is taught, Shebechol Yoim Mazin Olov Me Chatos. Every day of the 7 days that precede Yom Kippur, the waters of the Pora Aduma, the red heifer ash water mixture, is sprinkled upon our Kohen Gadol. And the nature of that is Shemitame. It's Mitame. If someone is Tohor and he has these waters sprinkled on him, he becomes Tomei. Uvecholzos Oveid. And even though he has become Tomei, we still see him doing the daily sacrifices. Now, how can that be? So we turn to the Gemara. Man Tana, who is the author of our Mishnah, Omer Rav Chisda, the Lo K'Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva, if it were according to Rabbi Akiva, Ho Omar, Rabbi Akiva has been known to say, Tohor Shinofa Olov Hazo'o Tomosoi. A person who is Tohor, upon whom fell the Hazor, it is Metamehim, it makes him Tomei, Hechi Ovid Avoda. So how can he do the Avoda all those 7 days when in fact we said that all 7 days we are Mazeh on him from the Pora Aduma? Tisanya, the source points out this information concerning the Pora Aduma water. V'hizo HaTohor Al HaTomei, that's the Pasuk. Al HaTomei tohor. If someone is tomei, someone was defiled, defilement of the dead, so this is the means of purifying him. However, al ha-tohor tomei, and this we dash something, because this is the main problem for us. If the waters were sprinkled on someone who was not tomei meis, that will make him, the water ash mixture will make him tomei, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Now you notice we have a very long bracketed section. And the explanation of these brackets, it takes you actually to the top line of Omid Beis. On the side, though, we have a starred note where the brackets begin. So we've written Matras Sagrayim, the purpose of these brackets, Lafshir the Tapukidim Bishiris Matana, to enable us to deal initially with the question of who is the author. Ushne Chuvosov, and the two answers. After we deal with the issue of who is the author, then we'll come back and deal with the machlokis Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim. So in the meantime, the Gemara had asked who is the author. Rav Chisda gave his approach. He said, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva, because, just to review, our Mishnah has the Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah during the 7 days. The Avodah means the sacrificial activity which demands purity. One cannot be Tomei and do Avodas HaMikdash. We see in our Mishnah the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, and we know that, we know from the first from the beginning of the Perek that the Kohen Gadol has the water of the Por Adumah sprinkled on him. And according to Rabbi Akiva, a tohor that gets water sprinkled on him will make him tomei. So it must be that our Mishnah that is allowing him to do the avoda, but it wasn't mitameh him. So that's Reb Chisda's approach. If you skip to the top of Omid Beis, Abaye Omar, Afilu Teimo Rabbi Akiva, you can say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva. And as far as how do you resolve his receiving the sprinkling of the Por Adumah water and is doing avoda, so very simple solution to that. The Oved Avoda Kuliyoma, he does the daily sacrifices in the base of Mikdash and whatever else is necessary for him to do in the course of the day. Ulefanya, fanya means toward the evening. It's still day, but it's toward the very end of the day. Madu is mazeh. The Dalet and Zayin interchange, so they sprinkle upon him. Madu alei, they sprinkle upon him the Por Adumah water, the Tovil, and then he immerses himself in the mikveh, the Ovid Harav Shemesh, and upon sunset he becomes Tohar. In other words, it's a one-day Tumah. And if you can time it such as Rabbi suggests, he'll be Tumah for just a matter of moments. He'll have finished the Avodah, it's close to sunset, he hops into the mikveh and comes out, the sun sets, and he is ready to go for another day of Avodah. Okay, now that we dealt with the Gemara's question, who is the author, having already seen Rav Chisda's approach, it's not like Rabbi Akiva, and Abaye's approach, it could very well be according to Rabbi Akiva, we now turn to the Braisa and the bracketed section, which will focus on the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon concerning this matter of Pora Aduma water getting on someone that is Tohor, what happens? So we saw Rabbi Akiva say he becomes Tomei. We continue now in the brackets. V'chachomim oimrim, ein hadvorim halolu amurin, ela bedvorim hamekablin tuma. This posuk that says v'hizo hator ala Tomei is teaching me that this is necessary for things that are mekabel tuma. Now the Gemara explains that. What is meant by that? Kiddisnan, in the following Tanaic source, will illustrate what the Chachamim meant when they said Eladvar Makablam Tuma. The source says, Niskaveh Lahazis Al Habehema, V'hiz Al Adam. A person was sprinkling the Por Adumah water, and in order to sprinkle it, one immerses the tips of an azov branch into the water. So he had kavona, he had intent to sprinkle on an animal. Now, an animal is not something, a living animal, is not mekabel tuma. It doesn't become defiled. So, a person had taken his azov branch, azov is a type of plant, immersed it in the poraduma water, and then had intention to sprinkle it on an animal, vehizo ala odom, and it landed on a person. In fact, a person that needs tahara. So we say as follows: im yesh be'ezov yishane. If water remains in the ezov, then he can sprinkle it again. Niskavi mahazus ala odom viza behema. Here we have a case of a person had intention to sprinkle on a person. A person who needs the water. V'hizo al habeima. It ended up going on an animal. Now, the same thing here, it says im yesh be'ezov, however, here's the difference. Lo yishane. If there's water that remains on the ezov branch after having actually sprinkled on an animal, you can't use it again because that sprinkling was for naught. It was sprinkling that landed on the behema. Therefore, the remnant water there is called meipora shenavdo ba malacha. That means it's meipora that was used for something other than purification. Therefore, the balance that remains on the branch is not useful. However, as opposed to the first case, where the only thing was lacking was his intent. He intended it for going onto an animal, but it went onto a person. So there we say, if there's water left over on the branch, you can just sprinkle again, and he will become tar. If we look in Rashi across from here, v'chachamim omrim al hatomei l'drosha asa. The pasuk that said v'hizo hatar al hatomei is coming for a drosha purpose, to expound on it. Lomar, she'ein divrei hazo amurim el b'dvar makabim tuma. The laws of hazo apply only to items that can become defiled. Avod b'dvarim she'ein makabim tuma, but things that cannot become defiled, like a living animal, ein hazo hanitzis alein kruya hazoya. Whatever you sprinkle on them is not called a sprinkling. The practical application of this distinction is with regard to the balance of water that remains on the branch. If the sprinkling was done in actuality on a behema, so whatever remains is posel. The ain lahachshira lahazas, and you can't allow them to be used for another hazah. Let's continue now in the Gemara. My time of the Rebbe Akiva. What is the reason, the basis for Rebbe Akiva? He said, if you mazeh on a person who's Torah, he becomes Tomei. So the Gemara answers, Nichtav Rachman of Yizah HaTor Olav. The Torah could have simply said, and a Torah person sprinkles on him. My Al HaTomei. Why does the Torah spell out that the Torah's person sprinkles on the Tomei person? So the words Al HaTomei are extra. Instead of, in a more terse fashion, it just could have said Olav. It says Al HaTomei. So Shema Mino, we learn from this, Al HaTomei Tohor. Al HaTohor Tomei. If the sprinkling lands on someone who is Tomei, so he will become Tor. However, if the sprinkling lands on someone that's Tor, he will become Tomei. Rabbonan. Now, the Rabbonan who don't agree with that, hi, this Al HaTomei Posuk, hi, L'dvorim HaMakabim Tuma Hu Da'asa. It's coming to tell me that only on things that are Makabel Tuma, that absorb Tuma, do I do the sprinkling. Avo Hacha Kal V'chomer Hu. But here, regarding the Mei Chatos that touched a Tohar person, the Kal V'chomer will tell me he certainly will remain Tohar. What's the Kal V'chomer of the Rabbanan? Im Al HaTomei Tohar. If someone if the water is capable of lifting someone out of defilement and reestablishing purity, al hator lo kol shekein, someone that's already tor, certainly he'll remain tor. That, of course, is not like Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, hainu de komar Shlomo, it's this very point that is the case, even though it doesn't seem logical. What did Shlomo HaMelech say? Shlomo, who was the wisest of men, he says, Amati Echkimo, I thought when I was pondering the laws of Poraduma that I will become wise and knowledgeable and understanding of this topic. Vehi Rechoka Mimeni, but yet it remains aloof from me. So Rabbi Kiva is aware that there's a Kal Vachomer to make, but yet the outcome is going to be different than the Kal Vachomer. Kal Vachomer is basically logic, and Rabbi Kiva is saying that the Parsha of Paraduma does not operate lafi logic. V'Rabbonan, the Rabbonan, what do they do with the statement of Shlomo, Omar te echkemo v'hi rechokam mimeni? What is it that was, it's hard to understand? Zahu lamaze ulamazen olav tor v'nogea bohen tomei. The Rabbonan have a different approach. Their approach is that the one who is sprinkling the water and the one who is in need of it, so they become tohor. They, in the case of the mazeh, he remains tohor. However, if anogea bohen tomei, someone who touches the waters becomes tomei. The Gemara asks, umazeh tohor, you just established that the mazeh, the one who does the sprinkling, remains tohor. V'hoksiv. Now, before we go on, we should point out on the side we have a mivneh, a structural note. The diamond with the colored in tip, it highlights the word my, and the double underline highlights the word mazeh. Hezberim laha dekosuv mazeh b'posuk. These represent explanations as to the word mazeh that you find in the posuk. This is a mazeh me'anido yechabez begodov, which translates as the one who sprinkles the mehanidah, is the waters of the red cow. He will need to cleanse his clothing, purify his clothing. So now we turn to the Gemara, and we're asking, is that really so? That which the Rabbanan said, mazeh tor, that the mazeh is tor, that's what the Rabbanan said just a line before this. The Pasuk says the one who sprinkles the water, he must purify his clothing. Yechabes begodov means his clothing became tomei. So how can you say that the mazeh is tohor, when not only does he become tomei, but even the clothing he's wearing becomes tomei? So the Gemara answers, my mazeh, mazeh in the posuk that becomes tummy is nogea, someone who touches the actual waters. Question, v'hoksiv mazeh, v'hoksiv nogea. The posuk spells out both of them. If we look at the side, we have included the posuk by midbor perek yutes posuk of aleph. And on the side of the Gemara, we've written umazeh me'anido yichabes v'golov anogea b'me'anido yitmo ad ha'orev. So the pasuk uses the word nogea. How then can you say that mazeh in the pasuk means nogea? It's therefore mashma that mazeh means someone who does the actual sprinkling. And again, that would bring into question what we said for the Rabbonah, that the Rabbonah held the mazeh remains tohor. V'yoid mazeh boi kibus begodim nogea lo boi kibus begodim. And furthermore, if you look in the posuk, it's only the mazeh that requires the cleansing of the clothing. The nogea does not. Elo my mazeh. What does mazeh of the posuk mean? No say, someone who carries it. Either he supports it or he carries it. But Mazeh Mamish, the one who does the actual sprinkling, will be Tohar. The question then is, then, if you're saying that Mazeh of the Poset means someone who carries it, V'niftav Rachmona, no say. Let the Torah write the Nun Vav Sama Sin Aleph, no say. My time aksiv Mazeh. Why does the Torah go out of its way to use a strange word if Mazeh really means no say, a more common word? So the Gemara answers that Mazeh really is no say, as far as the Pasuk is concerned. And Mazeh Mamish, the one who does the actual sprinkling, will be, like the Rabbanan said, he remains Tahar. And as far as why the Torah, instead of saying no say, it used the word Mazeh, there is a hidden agenda. Ha Kamashmalan. The Torah intended to tell us the following. Deboin on Shi'ur Hazah. That when you do the Hazah, there has to be a minimum quantity there. Well, Ha Nicho Lamandam Hazah Tzricha Shi'ur. This explanation works out according to that opinion that Hazah requires a minimum quantity. But according to the opinion that Hazah doesn't have any shi'ur, so what are you going to say? In other words, the question once again is, why refer to the mazeh using that word when your intent is to refer to the no-say, the carrier of it? The Gemara continues. Afilu lamandam hazah in tzricha shiur. Even if you say that hazah does not require a shiur, hanimila agavo de gavro. That's as far as how much water must land on the client, the person who's tomei. How much water must get on him to make him tor? Gavo is the back of the gavro of the man. Avo b'mono tzricha shiur. But as far as the amount that's in the vessel, that does require a shiur. So that when you're immersing the Azov branch into the water, the red cow water mixture, and it's in a vessel, there must be a minimum quantity of water to be in the vessel. How much water has to land on the client? So we can say that's negligible. And here we have a Tanaic source that points this out, Disnan. How much water must be in the vessel that we can describe it as enough for Hazah? Answer, Kidei, Shiyidbo. We continue with the top of Omid Beis. Roshe, Givolin, Viazeh. There has to be enough water that the kernels or the tips of the branches, the Roshe, Givolin, the tips of the branches would be submerged in that quantity of water. So it's a very small amount of water, enough for the tips of the branches to become submerged. Abaye Omar, Afilu Teimo Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah, which has the Kohen Gadol being sprinkled upon with the Paraduma water, which would be Metames, someone who's Tahar, that could be, according to Rabbi Akiva. And how will you then explain how he does, how the Kohen Gadol does Avoda? Answer, the Aved Avoda Kulei Yoma. He does the practice, or he practices, they're doing the daily sacrifices over the course of the day. Ulapanya, toward evening, means what the, while it's still daylight, Madu Ole, they sprinkle upon him the Paraduma water, which would make, at that point, the Kohen Gadol becomes Tomei, the Tovil, then immerses himself in a mikveh, and comes out of the mikveh, and then the sun sets, V'ovid Herav Shemesh, and that will be Matir him. So the Kohen Gadol becoming Tomei, as Abaye puts it, doesn't affect his daily functioning in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah had mentioned that during the week before the Kohen Gadol serves on Yom Kippur, so he does the avodos in the Beis HaMikdash, and amongst the things was umaktir es hakteiros umetiv es haneiros. Now we have a topic heading on the side Miyashev, and we note, by the way, we note that it goes till the next Omid of Gemara. The point here is Miyashev Stiros B'Mishnayis Binyan Seder Avodos. We have to resolve contradictions that we find in the Mishnayis regarding the order of Avodos. Ma Koidim Lama, what comes before what? We'll have to look at the Keturis, the Neros, and the Dam HaTomid. And those are the activities we want to establish the order, which comes before which. We've also noted that we have underlined Keturis and Neros here on the fourth line from the top of the Gemara, because this is what we want to focus on in terms of the order of things. So the Gemara continues. Alma Keturis Bereshiv Ader Neros. So it appears from our Mishnah that the Keturis is done, the incense offering is done first, and then the Neros, and then the cleaning out of the candles, of the candelabra, of the menorah. Before proceeding, we should note that we have some more markings. So on the side, we have a mivneh, a structural note, where the triangle is featured. And this is, they represent two she'elos shel stiros, two questions involving contradictions. And they are, one is bein yumo umaseches tomid, and the diamond that you see with a double underline that accompanies it are two chuvos, responses to the question of man tana. In other words, we're going to be showing contradictions in sources, and in order to resolve the contradictions, we're going to be raising the issue of who is the author, and through that we'll then say it's not a contradiction, but the sources that are quoted represent different authorships. And the second issue that will be dealt with is a stira besoch maseches yuma atzma, a contradiction within our mesecht itself, and the house marking that follows represents two answers to that. And as you can see, this will continue, the house markings will continue on to Tes Vav Amud Aleph. So now we turn to the Gemara. Veraminu, we raise the contradiction. The source is from Maseches Tomid. Mi shezocha b'dishon mizbeach ha'pnimi, u'mi shezocha b'menoira, u'mi shezocha b'kteres. Now this source is referring to the choosing of the Kehanim for the different activities that take place on a daily basis in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you note the order, you'll see the one who was chosen for the menorah is then followed by the one who was chosen for the Keturis. And just keep your eye on the underlinings, you'll see that here you have menorah and then Keturis. That is contrary to what our Mishnah spoke about, mentioning Keturis and then the Neros, namely the menorah. Omar Rav Huna, Man Tana Tomit. So Rav Huna says, listen, it's a different authorship. Our Mishnah is authored by one authority, and the Mishnah in Tomid is authored by Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzpah. Who is the author of Tomid? The answer is Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzpah. The Gemara questions now. The question lasts a number of lines. We're going to raise a question on that which Rav Huna just said. V'ha ipcha shamin olei. But we have heard to the opposite, to the contrary, that the Tana of Maseches Tomid is not Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzpah. Rav Huna was claiming that Tomid isn't a contradiction to our Mishnah because it's authored by someone else. It's a different authority. It's Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzpah. But here in this section of Gemara, we're going to show that Tomid cannot be Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzpah. So we continue. Disnan, the Mishnah says in Tomid, and this Mishnah deals with the blood applications. It says, Bo lo lekeren, Mizrach esfoinis, when the Kohen arrives at the northeastern corner, he is then venosein, Mizrach atzvona. he applies the blood in one, we'll call it one splash of blood, that since he's standing at the corner, so it reaches the eastern side and the northern side of the Mizbeach. Marova's Dromis, when he reaches the southwestern corner, Nosein Marova Droma. And again, it's one application that hits the southern, the east, the western side and the southern side. The Tani Allah, and there is a source concerning that issue of the Matnas Dam, of the blood applications. And it says, Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah, Mishana B'Tomid, he has a different approach to the Tomid, to the daily sacrifice. In other words, Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah teaches differently than that which is taught in Tomid. And you'll see the difference in a minute. The first application, Mizrachot Tzvoina, it's not the same Mizrachot Tzvoina. That is like you saw in Tomid. However, Ma'arovah's Dromis, and here we dashed underline to highlight the difference, Noisein Ma'arovah, V'acharkach Noisein Droma. When he gets to the southwestern corner, it's not a single splash that hits both sides of the Mizbech at once, but rather, he makes a split blood application, one at the western side, and a second, and another one, a separate application on the southern side. So that procedurally, or let's say in terms of motions, there were three motions. On the northeastern side, it was one motion that hit both sides of the Mizbech at once. And on the southwestern side, it was two motions, an application on the western side and an application on the southern side. So you can see that that Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzvah is different than that which is taught in Tomid. Well, that's a kasha on Rav Huna. Ela Omer Rav Yochanan. Now you notice we have, this is beis in contrast to the aleph and a diamond by Rav Huna. Here is a second approach. Ela Omer Rav Yochanan, Man Tana Seder Yuma. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Namely, our Mishnah that said that the Keturis precedes the Neros. The author of our Mishnah is Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. So our Mishnah is Reb Shimon, and the Mishnah in Tumid, which had the Torahs before the Neros, that is someone else. So, but there's no contradiction. The point is, the two different authorities. The Rami Seder Yuma, a Seder Yuma. And here, we're going to present a problem, a contradiction within Maseches Yuma. The Snan, a pious Asheni. The word pious is a reference to the gathering of the Kohanim for the purpose of choosing who is going to do what. So the second gathering, Pius Hasheni, Mi Shochet, Mi Zorek, Mi Medashim Mizbech Pnimi, Mi Medashim Es Hamenoro, Umi Ma'ale Evorom Lekevish, Pius Hashlishi, the third gathering, Chadoshim Lakturis, Bo'u V'afisu. Before we involve ourselves with translating this source, do you see what the point is? Notice the underlinings. Notice the arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. Here you have menorah and then ktoras. And this is from our Masichta. What does the arrow above point to? Ktoras and then neros. Well, that is a contradiction. The rest of the information in the source is tangential for our current discussion, but it mentioned that Pius Hasheni, in the second gathering, they chose who would be the Shochet, who would slaughter, Mizorik, who would sprinkle the blood of the Tomid, Mi Medashim Mizbeach Pnimi, who would clean off the ash from the inner golden Mizbeach, which was the incense altar, and Mi Medashim Es HaMenorah, who would clean out the menorah, and Umi Male Vorm Lekevesh, who would bring the limbs up to the ramp, the limbs of the Korban Tomid. And Pius Hashlishi, Chadoshim Legoros Bo Mufisu, the new ones, I mean, people who never had done the Ktoras, are to come to gather together to choose who will do it. And the reason for that is, with regard to the Ktoras, that was a unique type of activity that a person, a Kohen, would merit doing that only once, because there was a segula, if you will, a certain, let's say, special merit for one who does the Torah, he also is worthy of riches, of becoming enriched. So we want to spread the goods, so to speak, to give other Kohanim a chance to achieve that. So that's the idea of here, Chadoshim, the new ones, the ones who never did Torahs before, only those gather together to choose who will win that chance. And this was on a daily basis. The problem, though, as you can see, is the issue of an internal Yuma contradiction. Omar Abaye, Lo Kasha. So Abaye answers, there's no problem, and note structurally, Abaye is listed as a house Aleph. The Aleph you can see to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and on Tes Vov, Omen Aleph, you'll find about a quarter of the way down from the top, Rav Papa also with a house, he is a second approach. So Abaye says, Omar Abaye, Lo Kasha, there isn't a contradiction. Kan Bahatovas Shtei Neros, Kan Bahatovas Chomesh Neros. The menorah was cleaned out and done so in separate actions. In other words, five neros were done together, and then there was a break, and the issue we'll deal with shortly is what was used to create the break, but there was a pause, and then after pausing with the neros, he would come back and do the two neros, the last two neros of the seven-branch candelabra. So we have this also listed as a subtopic on the side of the Gemara. We wrote the Tatnosei, the subtopic, Batovas Neros HaMenorah, in the cleaning of the neros. It may be known that the candelabra was burning throughout the night, and by the next morning, so there was a need to clean out the charcoal and wicks that had been burning all night. So that cleaning out, we say, yesh tzorach la'asos hafsoka, there's a need for making a break, b'meh mafsikin, and what was used to create that break. So Abaye points out that it all depends on what you're looking at. So if you note on the side of the Gemara, we wrote out Abaye, and he has the five neros. That's the Mishnah later on, Adaf Chof Hei, and then the Ktores that is offered after he cleaned out the five neros, and then he comes back to the menorah and cleans out the last two, so that when you see the Mishnah that says Neros and Ktores, that's a reference to the five Neros, which is followed by the Ktores. That's the Mishnah Chof Hei. Now, our Mishnah that opened our Perek, which has the Ktores before the Neros, that's when you're focusing on the last two Neros, so the Ktores precedes the last two Neros. We're going to make a point now, and which we'll come back to later, what's a little bit, we'll say, maybe odd in Abaye's presentation, is that the later Mishnah, which mentions Neros and then Ktores, that later Mishnah deals with the earlier Neros, the five Neros, and then which were followed by the Ktores. Our Mishnah, which is at the beginning of the Masechta, deals with the later Neros, the last two Neros, namely of Ktores and then Neros. Alright, that having been said, Abaye nevertheless is presenting a resolution, that there's absolutely no contradiction, just a question of perspective, or what are you focusing on the first five Neros? If that be the case, so then you'll notice Neros are then followed by the Ktores, and if you're focusing on the last two Neros, then we will tell you that the Ktores precedes the Neros. We continue in the Gemara. L'meimra, are you suggesting the Ktores mafsik lehu, that the Ktores offering, the incense offering, is that which splits the Neros cleansing? V'ho Abaye, Mesader Ma'arocha Mishmei de Gemara. We know that Abaye, he teaches the order of the Marocha literally is the fireplace, but it's the order of that which was done in the morning. Mishmei de Gemara, he says that in the name of tradition. Bedam HaTomid Mafsik Lu, and in Abaye's presentation, he has been known to have the sprinkling of the blood of the Tomid between the Neros, the five and the two. So, now what we've done with the markings, you can see we dot underline Abaye. The first dot underline has Abaye separating the Neros using the Torahs. The second dot underline Abaye has the Dam HaTomid separating. Amri, the Gemara responds, Lo Kashya. There isn't a contradiction here. Hahi la'abashol, ho l'rabbonon. Abaye is simply reflecting two different Tanaic opinions. That which Abaye is Mesader Seder Marocha, the order of the Beis HaMikdash activities every day, that is something he says in the name of Abashol. And that which Abaye is saying, that the Ktoras is the Mafsik, is the separation activity, that is in the name of the Rabbonon, the Sanya. We have a source, and it says, Lo yetiv esaneros v'achakaf yaktir. He shouldn't clean the candles out. And when it says that, that to clean out the candles, it means he doesn't clean all seven out and then offer the Ktoras. Elo yaktir v'achakaf yetiv. Now, to appreciate this line, we must look at the Rashi. Four lines from the bottom. Lo yetiv shivoson, that means all of them. V'achar kach yaktir, and then, you know, and only then offer the Ktoras. Elo yaktir, Rashi says, let's read that again. Lo yetiv shivoson v'achar kach yaktir, elo yaktir be'emtza. So when the source says elo yaktir, it means in the middle. And then v'achakach yigmor hatovas shtayim. V'ho leko lemeimar, don't say yaktir tchilo v'aryasa lehetiv kvam rabona. Don't suggest that what he is saying here in the source is first do the Torah and then start the hatova. Tokaimalon de boy hafsoka. We know that there has to be something separating the Hatovas Haneros. And as far as all the other activities, they're set up based on Psukim. Later on, this will be taught. And you can't do the Ktoras until the blood was sprinkled. The Amis Ktoras Kedemus Latovas Neros, if you're going to put the Ktoras before the Hatovas Haneros, then Ein Lucha Oid Avoida Lav Sikon Bo. There'll be nothing else available to have in between to split the Neros. So we turn back to the Gemara text, and we saw the Tanakamo saying that the Ktoras is in the middle. Abashol Omer Metiv V'achakach Maktir. Abashol says, Metiv means all of them. You're going to finish the all the candles, cleaning out all of the wicks from all seven branches of the candelabra. And only then are you Maktir the Torah. So the Hafsoka was with the blood. My time with Abashol. What's the basis for his approach? Dichtiv baboker baboker behetivo esaneros v'hodar yaktireno. These are quotes from the pasuk, and what we've done again with our markings, we underline the order. You have neros and then Torahs. So that's what Abishol was saying, that he finishes metiv all of them and then comes to the Torahs. V'rabbonon maikom rachmona, according to the Rabbonon, who don't agree with that, who have basically the Ktoras in the middle. So what do they make of this pasuk, which Abashol said the Ktoras is done only after all of the Neros? So the Rabbanan will tell you, and here it's, we're at the top of Tezvav Aleph, Be'idon HaTova while you're doing the Hatava, in other words, in the midst of the Hatava, Tehei Miktar Ktoras, the Ktoras should be offered. So the result of that is that you have Ktoras, which precedes the completion of the Neros. And that's why we wrote above Ktoras and then Neros, to reflect the Shita of the Rabbanan, which was also our Mishnah. D'i lo temahachi, and the Rabbanan go on to prove their point, that if you don't say thusly, that this pshat, that when the Keturah is, when you are doing the Hatava, the Keturah should already be burning. So, Beinu Arbayim, Dichtiv, regarding the late afternoon, the Tomet Shel Beinu Arbayim, and we'll just say the Beinu Arbayim, there was also the Keturah that's offered in the late afternoon. It says, Ubehelos es aneros ben arbayim yaktireno. That's the posuk. We've underlined the key words again, neros and ktores. Looking at that posuk, hochi nami debereisho madlik neros v'oder makdir ktores shel ben arbayim. Are you going to think that and in the afternoon incense offering, you're going to first do the neros and then the ktores? That can't be. And that the Gemara is going to prove in the next few lines. V'chitema hochinami, and if you try to say, yeah, that's what it is, that first he does the neros in the afternoon, and then does the ktores. V'hotanya, that is just not true. Because when it comes to the late afternoon, the pasuk says that the last thing you're going to be doing during the day are the neros, namely the ktores will have preceded the neros. The pasuk says, regarding the menorah, it says, Me'erev ad boker. Tain lo midosa, shetei dolekes v'leches, kol alaylo me'erev ad boker. This is less important for us right now, but the first pshat in this posuk as offered in the source is the amount of oil that you should put in is enough that it shall be able to burn all night, from the erev until the boker, from the evening, from the late end of the day till the morning. Dover acher, mayor of Boker, and here we've dashed underlined the key thing. Ein lucha avoda shikshero mayor of Boker elo zu bilvad. There is no avoda that is allowed to be done as far as daytime activities are concerned. The last of the daytime activities is the menoros, the candelabra. So the order in the Bein Arbayim has to be Ktoras and then Neros. And when you look at the pasuk, where we did some underlining, you noticed the Neros preceded the Ktoras, but you can't leave it at that level, that literal level. Ela mai ko'omar rachmona. So what is the pasuk saying? Bebeinu Arbayim? It's saying be'idon hadloka tehei mikdar Ktoras. That when you are doing the lighting, the Ktoras is already burning. So hochanami, so too with regard to the morning. Be'idon hatava, while you are doing the cleansing, tehei mikdar ktoris. The ktoris is already burning. Which, as we saw before, that's shitas rabbonan, ktoris, and then neros. So what we've done in the last few lines have demonstrated that the literal reading of the pasuk in terms of order cannot be maintained. You can't stick to the literal reading. And just like in the late afternoon, the literal reading cannot be kept to, because Neros must be at the end, so too, regarding the morning, the literal presentation of the order cannot be taken at face value, and rather, as we said at the top, when Hatava is taking place, the Ktoras is already burning. The Abashol, Omarloch, Abashol, well, what does he say? In other words, as far as the late afternoon, he has to agree that the last thing of the day are the Neros, so that in the afternoon, in fact, the order is Ktoras and then Neros. But Abashol, with regard to the morning, said Neros are finished before you get to the Ktoras. So what does Abba Shol do with the psukim? Abba Shol, Omar Loch, Shiny Hossam, the afternoon, the Beinu Arbayim case is different. Tichtiv Oisoi. The pasuk we have quoted on the side of our Gemara, we wrote it in Shmois Perichov Zayin Pasuk Chaf Aleph, where the pasuk says, "Boy moed michutz leporochus asher al ha'edus yaroch oisoi aron uvonov me'erev ad boker lefnei Hashem," so that the word oso is a type of, we'll say, limitation expression that only in the afternoon the neros are at the end. And only there will we say that when the neros are burning, when he's lit them in the late afternoon, the ketoros is already burning. But that's because you've got the word oisoi. But in the morning, the simple reading of the pasuk is to be maintained. And as a result of that, you come out with what Abba Shol has said, neros, and then the ketoros. Rav Papa Omar, lo kashya. Now, what is Rav Papa doing here? So we have markings. So the markings show us that he is coming to do that which Abaye was doing. Abaye was House Aleph back on Yudal Amud Beis, and that was to resolve the stira within Seder, within Maseches Yuma. So Rav Papa is doing the same thing in terms of that's his role over here. If you take a look at Rashi, you see Rav Papa Amar Lo Kashya, Seder Yuma, Seder Yuma. Just like we said, he's coming to resolve the Mishnayos and Yuma, the Kulu Batovas Shtei Neros. And as far as Rav Papa is concerned, both Mishnayos are dealing with the cleaning out of the last two Neros. Ha Disnan Ktoras Bereisha, our Mishnah that mentioned two Ktoras before, Rabbonan. That's according to Rabbonan. Ha Disnan Neros Bereisha, and the Mishnah that said Neros are first, the Mishnah Chofei, that's Abba Shol. So now let's see this in the Gemara. Ra'ah Rav Papa Amar Lo Kashya Ha Rabbonan. Once again, our Mishnah, which had Ktoras and then Neros, and the Neros are the last two Neros, so that the Rabbonan had, in fact, as we said earlier, the Ktoras is the separation between the five and the two. So you have Ktoras before the Neros. That's the Rabbonan. And Ha, the Mishnah of Pius on Daf Chof Hei, Abba Shol. That's Abba Shol who says that as far as the Shtei Neros are concerned, you finish all of the Hatova and then you do the Ktoras. So you have Neros and then Ktoras. B'mayu kimtu l'masnis in d'hocha. How did you set up our Mishnah, the Mishnah which has Ktoras and then Neros? Kirabonan. Okay, that's according to the Rabbonan. Pious Abba Shol. That's the Mishnah Chof Hei, with the Neros and then the Ktoras. So we have our Mishnah, that's Daf Beis. Then you've got the, in other words, you've got our Mishnah, that is from the first Perek. And we mistakenly said the Daf Beis, it's really our Mishnah from today, Daf Yudalid, but it's from the first Perek. That is, we say, according to the Rabbonan, the Mishnah Daf Chof Hei, which is quite a bit later, that is according to Abba Shol. And Amos Seifa, now state the Seifa, this is from the third Perek, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. It says, and now you see a source and you see some underlining also. And of course you can just jump to the underlining, you see Ktoras and then Neros. Ktoras and then Neros reflects the Rabbonan. What does it say? It says, Avilo Es HaTomet, they would bring to the Kohen Gadol the Korban Tomet, Kortzu, he would slaughter, he would make the initial incision, performing with, so the bare minimum of this of the shechita. Umerik acher shechita yoda, I mean someone else would come in and immediately complete the cutting of the neck of the animal. Nichnas lahaktir es haktoras ulehitiv es aneros. The Kohen Gadol would then go in to offer the daily incense and clean the candles. So asa'on the Rabbonan. This order, having Ktoras and then Neros, well, that works out according to the Rabbanan. So now, when you look at the sum total of these Mishnayos, the three Mishnayos, Daf Yud Dalet, Daf Chof Hei, and Daf Lamed Aleph, you have, well, say, first Perek, second Perek, and third Perek, you've got the following. You've got Reisha V'Sefer Rabbanan, Umitzios Abba Shol. Is that how these Mishnayos are set up, that the Reisha and the Sefer is one opinion and sandwiched in the middle is another opinion. Amar loch Rav Papa, in, Rav Papa says, that's right, Reisha v'sefer Rabbanan u'metziyasa Abba Shaul. That's how it is. We can understand Abaye not having given this approach, the approach that Rav Papa gave, because Reisha v'sefer Rabbanan u'metziyasa Abba Shaul lo mokim lo. He doesn't want to set up a masichta with Mishnayos that are basically two authorities with the second authority sandwiched between two other Mishnayos representing the first authority. Ela Rav Papa, my time alo amar kebaye. Why didn't Rav Papa follow Abaye's approach, namely setting up our Mishnah with the Hatovas Shtei Neros? And as if you focus on that Hatovas Shtei Neros, so then we'll understand that Ketores comes before the Neros, and the later Mishnah from Chof Hei, where you see the Neros coming before the Ketores, that's because you're dealing with the Chomesh Neros, which precede the Ketores. Omar Loch. So Rav Papa will answer you, the reason I didn't follow Abaye's approach is could it be that Tana Bereisha Atovas Shtei Neros Vodar Atovas Chamesh Neros, that the Tana will teach first the latter candles. We mentioned that the two are done after the five, but it's kind of odd that the Mishnah here on Daf Yud Daled will talk, which precedes the Mishnah from Daf Chof Hei, the earlier Mishnah talks about the later Neros. That's unreasonable. It's opposite the actual order of things. The Abaye Omar Loch, Abaye will tell you, Oroye Ba'al Mahuda Komori. The information in the first perek is not here to tell me order of things. In fact, if you look at the Rashi, Abaye Omar Loch, Rashi, you see, just across from here, a couple lines down, he says, "Hai de perekama de kotoni, kol shivas yomim huzori v'chule." That which we have here in our first perek, la biyom kippurim koi. It's not talking about the day of Yom Kippur. It's talking about what happened on a daily basis. V'lo kopid asidra el reba almo mori. It's not interested in insisting on the exact order, but it's just coming to reveal information. And it's revealing to us that the Kohen Gadol has to be involved with the Avoda all 7 days, so that he should be ready for Yom Kippur. The Sidra of the Yoma, Hodar Toni Law. And later, the Seder of the Yom, that's in the second parak, where the Seder of what happened on Yom Kippur is then taught. Lekach shana b'perek sheni hatovas chomesh b'perek shlishi shana hatovas shtayim. When you're dealing with the second perek and the third perek, which are dedicated to the actual Yom Kippur day, so in the second perek you have, in fact, the five Neros dealt with, and in the third perek, which follows, you have the two Neros, which in fact are later. So you see that as far as the Mishnayos are concerned, with regard to Yom Kippur, they are faithful to the issue of order. And that's what Abaye is telling you here, that read that again, Aroi Ba'al Mahuda Komori, the Sidra Ha Hodar Toni La, the Seder of Yom Kippur, that he is taught later on, as we demonstrated, second parak and third parak are faithful to the order of the Yom Kippur services. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.